ready to go. It's ready to go. I'm sure somebody. I figured.
You want to make sure
that you have it on your. Sorry?
You need to make sure you have it on your.
Okay, I think we've got a quorum for this conversation this afternoon about developing a consumer agenda for ICANN. Thank you, Bill. First up, I'd just like to introduce myself for those people that I may not have met just yet. My name's Rosemary Sinclair, and I'm one of the councillors for the non-commercial stakeholders group on the GNSO Council. And a number of my fellow councillors are here with us as well this afternoon, so that's good. For everybody else in the room, I'd just like to say a big thank you to you all for finding the time in what is an extraordinarily busy schedule, I know, to come and be part of this first conversation, I think, on developing a consumer agenda for ICANN. I thought what I might do, if we can go to the next slide, Rob, is to just spend a few minutes talking about what we're going to talk about today and how we're going to do that. And then I thought if we could just, after I've maybe set the scene, just run around the table and get everybody to just give a name and affiliation so that we've got an idea of who else is in this conversation. So it doesn't look too complicated when you set it out like this. We're going to talk about three things. The first is consumer. The second is agenda. The third is ICANN. And I know we're all expert on that topic. Then we're going to try to draw some conclusions and identify what our next steps might be. So coming next slide. And when I was doing the preparation for this workshop, I thought, okay, how did we all get to this point where we're going to have this conversation? And this is just my interpretation of how we got there, and it's a contribution, if you like, to this afternoon. When I think about ICANN, I think of the history in these phases. I think of a technical task, which is really about building the DNS and making sure that's okay, and there's lots to be done still ongoing in that task. But then I look at the history and I see, well, the next phase is really about the coordination of the marketplace that is built on that technical capability. So a range of tasks which I've just called commercial coordination. And then we get into the next phase of ICANN, and I think that's where we are now, where there's an increased focus, if you like, on accountability. We're doing all this, and who are we accountable to? Who is interested? Who are the stakeholders? And it's not just the participants in the technical bit, and it's not just the participants in the commercial bit. There's a wider group of people who are interested in what we're doing. The next. And then comes along the affirmation of commitments. And for my sins, I suppose, I have taken that document very seriously. I guess it turned up at a time when I turned up. And I thought, well, this is good. I'll really figure out what ICANN is all about by reading this document. And so when I was reading it, these words were jumping out at me, that we're making our decisions in the public interest, that we're interested in consumer trust, consumer confidence, consumer choice. We do things around here for the benefit of global internet users, and we're worrying about the effects of our decisions on the public. And it's quite an interesting thing to do, to go back to that document and read it looking for those words. The next. So out of that, I thought, okay, there's some concepts here that really we have to think through and do some work on, and that's consumer, public interest, those words. What's the agenda for ICANN related to that? And then how do you get that agenda embedded in ICANN processes across ICANN, not just in the non-commercial stakeholders group and not just in ALAC, but across the entire organisation? And then just this week, I've been sitting, thinking about all of this, listening to the discussions, and people are talking about a multi-stakeholder model, a vital public resource, public interest in the internet. The economic study around the GTLDs has got lots and lots about social welfare and economic efficiency and consumer protection. So that's just this week. So bringing us now to today, I have thought about this, that this afternoon what I would really like us to do is have a conversation. These are big ideas, complicated ideas, and we've got to think about them in the ICANN context. So it's a conversation, really, rather than a series of presentations. I'm really hoping that lots of people will feel that they have a contribution to make from a range of different perspectives. I really want to try to keep the discussion around the concepts rather than diving into the myriad of issues that we've been discussing all week. And I know everybody in the room is much more expert than I am in those issues. But I want to try and keep us at the level of concepts. It's extremely important, and I'm really grateful to everybody for making this a cross-community conversation. That is very important. And as well, we have colleagues from inside the ICANN family, but outside the ICANN organisation in a funny way. And I'm thinking of ISOC here and Taylor Reynolds from the OECD. So those colleagues are really very important to our conversation because there may be some ideas they have that we can think about. So I think that's all I want to say. If we just go back to the next slide, Rob should take us just to our agenda, I think. No, if you just go to the next slide, I think I got it. No matter. That's all I wanted to say by way of background. Are there any questions just on what we're going to do here for the next hour and 10 minutes or so? Yeah.
Je peux parler en français?
May I speak French? Does it work? Yes. You have your headset on? About the agenda, does it also involve the future review team on promoting consumer protection, consumer choice, or is this conversation completely separated from this future entity to be set up? Thank you.
Perhaps if I answer from my own perspective, my perspective is it's completely separated, but that's because I am not aware of such a body to be set up. It may be that our conversation this afternoon could inform the people that are working on that task, but those two things were not linked in my thinking.
Oui, bien sûr. It's okay. It's your answer, and no problem. I was thinking that it could have some link, but the conversation will show us. That's no problem.
I wonder if we could make a start by just very quickly going around the table for people to just let us know name and affiliation.
Sure. Garth Bruin and Robert Bruin from newjohn.com. Mm-hmm. He's my father, not my brother.
Yes, John Zarmin from United Business Media here, the reporter.
Taylor Reynolds from OECD.
Narelle Clark from Internet Society Australia and Board of Trustees.
Sébastien Bachoret, a member of multiple ISOC chapter around the world, and ALAC Vice Chair. At Large Advisory Committee Vice Chair, sorry.
Sylvia Herling.
Gareth Sherman, Telecommunities Canada, North American representative to the ALAC.
Evan Leibovich, Chair, ICANN at Large, North America.
Naoma Samari, I'm from Japan, ISP constituency. So I think lots of things in this ICANN discussion is very much influenced by the commercial interest, and that is why I'm thinking to attend this meeting.
Good day, Rob Hogarth, ICANN staff, and for today, the remote participation room manager for this meeting. I'd like to acknowledge that attending on the chat are CLO, Darlene, David Hogan, Evan, Gordon Chillicott, James, and Siva Subramanian, M.
Thank you. Heidi Ulrich, ICANN staff.
Bill Graham, Internet Society.
Bertrand Lachapelle, French representative in the GAC.
Frank March, the New Zealand representative in the GAC.
Cheryl Langton-Orr, current chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee, and if we're going to continue to the rest of the room, we're going to need a mic somewhere for the people behind me to introduce themselves.
Okay.
Adam Peak, ALAC.
Kathy Kleiman, .org, the Public Interest Registry.
Wolf Ludwig, Chair of ALAC Europe.
David Antilak Singh, Secretary at ALAC RALO.
Carlton Samuels, ALAC.
Bo Brindler, ALAC.
Christopher Wilkinson, Internet Society.
Okay. Avri Doria, NCSG, and coincidentally member of two ALSs.
Some people are just greedy.
Wendy Seltzer, NCSG, and individual member of Narello.
Dave McGuire, 463.
Fiona Alexander, Department of Commerce.
Kathy Handley, Aaron.
Steve DelBianco, NetChoice.
Tom Leonard, Technology Policy Institute.
Javier Serigné, Telefonica.
Luca Belli, Université Panthéon SS, Paris.
Eberhard Blocher, from Germany, just visiting.
Graham McDonald from Outer.
Klaus Rademacher, Bestens from Germany.
Wolf-Ulrich Knoben, Deutsche Telekom and GNSO Council.
Roland Perry from the VRIPE NCC.
Lynn Sainamore from the Internet Society.
I'm Marilyn Cade, ICT Strategies and the Chair of the BC.
Rosemary, if I may, just a little bit of housekeeping, as we will be doing transcripts here, if people could identify their name when they're speaking. So what I should have done then is, hi, if Cheryl's speaking or Cheryl. Now, if Rosemary says, go ahead, Narelle, then Narelle probably doesn't have to say, hello, my name is Narelle. But if you're not called by name to the microphone to speak, perhaps it would be a good idea to identify yourselves first. Thank you.
And this is Mary Wong, NCSG Councillor to the GNSO.
Okay, well, yes.
Antoinette Johnson, .vi.
Okay, so now we know who all our conversation colleagues are. That's great. So why don't we make a start on the first part of this conversation, and that is the concept, which I've just, pardon me, captured in the word consumer. So I wonder who might like to make a contribution on that particular part of the agenda. Perhaps if folks could just give us an indication. Bill? Evan? Anyone else in that queue at the minute? Well, maybe if we get Bill to make a start and other people who might like to contribute, just let me know as we go.
Thanks, Rosemary. It's Bill Graham. Well, this panel got me. Thanks very much for inviting me to the panel, by the way. One of the things it did was got me to reread the affirmation of commitments again. And as I did so, I noticed there were a couple of broad concepts around consumers that I think we need to think about at the very start of this discussion. On the one hand, it talks about how the Internet is a transformative technology, how it empowers people around the globe, it spurs innovation, facilitates trade and commerce, and enables the free and unfettered flow of information. It also talks about one of the elements of the Internet's success being it's highly decentralized, that it is a highly decentralized network that enables and encourages decision-making at the local level. On the other hand, the affirmation is intended to, quote, promote competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice in the DNS marketplace. And it talks quite a bit about the consumer benefits of new GTLDs, including the extent to which the introduction or expansion of GTLDs promotes competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. It also talks about the who is policy and whether that is effective in its implementation to meet the legitimate needs of law enforcement and promoting consumer trust. So in both those groups of concepts, it seems to me that the notion of consumer becomes a little bit problematic in the internet context. In the broader context of the internet, I really wonder about the use of the word consumer as to describe a predominant role on the internet. There's a complete absence of the mention of the social components of the exchanges that go on in the internet. And so the fundamental question is whether the term consumer should be broadened to something as simple as user, perhaps, although there could be other alternatives as well. But leaving that aside for a minute, in ICANN, I guess we'd need to think about consumer in the domain name system, obviously, and it seems to me there are a couple of ways to look at that. First, who is the consumer at this level? It seems to me it's the registries and registrars who we talk about primarily there. And I suppose, given those consumers of domain names as a sort of product, and there, I guess you can make a case for a fairly traditional type of consumer protection and consumer choice. So you'd have protection against fraud or other types of unscrupulous behavior, both in the process of awarding GTLDs and the use of GTLDs. You'd have protection against behaviors that might restrict choice. For example, if all the desirable GTLDs are picked up in an early kind of gold rush. But to what extent are protections missed when you consider that many consumers of domain names also have other roles? There's no doubt in my mind that there is a very large number of people who interact with the domain name space primarily as consumers. But is that all? I think the second focus in the affirmation of commitments, which is on the who is, suggests that ICANN and its partner in the affirmation, the U.S. government, may be thinking about a broader consumer protection role. And there, are we looking at ICANN taking on a role where it could be a contributor to law enforcement efforts, if not a de facto law enforcement agency itself? Another type of consumer, and to me the more understandable one, would be to hold that the registries and registrars are the primary consumers in the ICANN context, and that's easier to understand. And again, the same protections against fraud or anti-competitive behavior make sense. But looking at it that way ignores that registrars and registries don't have a simple relationship either, because they really are producers in the internet world and in the global economy. So here, too, the notion of consumer doesn't make much sense to me. So I guess my point here is that without a fundamental understanding of who is a consumer, who is a user, what are the roles that are relevant to consumer choice, it's going to be very hard to understand ICANN's role there, and referring to what Sebastian said, it's going to be very hard to do a review of that. And I think I'll probably just leave it there and maybe come in again a bit later. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Eva?
I just want to expand on what Bill was saying. In some of my own research in advance of trying to deal with this issue, there isn't a single dictionary definition of the word consumer that doesn't involve some kind of financial transaction. And that's a very interesting distinction. One of the things that ALAC and at large has been dealing with is the role of the consumer in the ICANN food chain, so to speak, with ICANN at the top, the registry, registrar, registrant. Who is at the bottom of the ICANN food chain? The registrant, who is the supplier of money that feeds up towards ICANN, or the end user, who is actually not a part of the transactions but is actually critically impacted by it? If somebody is sitting in an internet cafe or they're sitting on a public Wi-Fi and they are using the internet, they still have the potential to be using services. They still have the potential to be victims of phishing. They still have the vulnerabilities to all the things that can be thrown at them, and yet they're not part of the financial transactions between ICANN's various parties. And so this has entered in greatly into at-large's approach. I mean, I can't speak for at-large as a whole, but I think it's taken up a good chunk of our conversation about our role in this. And, you know, the Internet end user, as somebody who occasionally buys things from Internet sites and as such is a consumer over the Internet or is a consumer through advertising or other business models, is the part of this transaction that we think desperately needs protection and generally speaking hasn't been part of the ICANN decision-making process. From my personal view, a consumer is simply a subset of the general public that uses the Internet that happens to do financial transactions over it.
Petro, I think, was next.
Thank you, too, for inviting me here. I'm not a specialist at all of the consumer issues at the policy, national policy level. What I found interesting in the comments or the presentation of Bill, and Evan fortunately mentioned the word, was that there was no mention of the word registrant. And I must confess that this is something that I find absolutely fascinating in the last four years of devoted attention to this organization. The number of times that you hear the word registrant is incredibly limited. And most of the time it is because they're supposed, and sometimes it's true, they're supposed to misbehave, like they do something that is not good. I think one of the angles, not the exclusive one, of the consumer agenda for ICANN is to consider that basically this organization is also at the service of people who have a need to use domain names. And, you know, I hate qualifying domain names as a product, domain name system as a market, but in that respect, being on a personal basis the buyer of a domain or another for sometimes future purposes that I might have, I'm very interested in knowing how ICANN cares about making sure that this is done in a way that functions correctly. So I would encourage having a strong emphasis on registrants and, not exclusive, but emphasis, and also to consider how these registrants are actually taken into account in the structures of ICANN itself, especially individual registrants. It's a constituency that has no home, basically. And it is a little bit sad because, as a matter of fact, they are the ones who pay for ICANN. And I keep insisting that there is no financing whatsoever to ICANN by the registrars and the registries, exactly in the same way that your butcher is not paying the added value tax that you pay when you buy the steak. If you go to your butcher, you pay a tax that your butcher is a collector for the state. And registries and registrars are delegated operators for common resource and collectors of a common tax. Thank you.
Frank?
Yeah, for the record, Frank March.
Oh, sorry.
I introduced myself as being the New Zealand representative on the GAC, but I have another hat that I wear in this forum. I am also president of Internet New Zealand, which is, in some respects, has some of the functions of ISOC in New Zealand. It is an advocacy group, and it runs the .nz registry. Part of that, long before becoming president, I was chair of what we called the Oversight Committee for .nz, which looked after the regulatory field in which .nz operates. The key function of that was we put the registrant at the centre, and we run .nz, we ran it then and we run it now, with the registrant as the key person in the feed chain, because we see that the regulatory system is to provide a reliable, safe marketplace for people who register domain names in the .nz space. If you look at ICANN, that is the only, and I think the previous speakers have actually led to this point for me, which is very convenient. that that there is in fact only one consumer of ICANN services in this sense, and that is the registrant. They are the people who pay the money, the transaction, and the product that we're talking about here is access to the domain name system and through that to services on the internet. It is dangerous to widen too much beyond that point with ICANN. One of the issues that the WIGIG and the WISIS process brought to the surface in terms of talking about the issues around internet governance was that those of us who were defending ICANN were defending ICANN as the technical providers of a narrow-based service. The internet governance was a much wider area than that, and ICANN was only a very small part of it. So it is wise when you're talking about issues like this not to step too far out of that space. I'd caution about that. And if we're looking at the wider public interest, then we have the ALAC, which I think is increasingly functioning well.
At large. The ALAC 16 people, at large is what we're talking
about. At large we're talking about, yeah, my apologies, the at-large community. That is the wider public interest in ICANN. So I would caution that narrowness of focus, I think it would be appropriate. Having said all of that, then, and reverting to my other hat as the New Zealand representative on the GAC, the GAC's job is to, or government's job is to define public interest areas, and of course, this is one area where the interests of the public need to be looked after, so that there is that role as well. So I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you very much. My name is Taylor Reynolds from the OECD. There are actually three concepts I'd like to bring up here, and they apply generally to telecommunications. And I think what's interesting is then to see how these general principles can apply back to ICANN itself. I have to apologize, first of all, because you are associated with telecommunication firms, and telecommunication firms are one of the most detested by consumers in terms of the complaints. When you look, you talk to consumer agencies, and you say, what percentage of your calls come from and complaints come from telecommunications? It is a huge, huge proportion. So obviously we've got a lot of areas to work on here, and so I think that's important to keep in mind. There's three things I think I would focus on that apply for telecommunications in general. Number one would be transparency. Number two would be free movement of consumers, allowing them to switch providers quickly. And then finally, consumer redress. You know, how can consumers resolve problems that appear? You can see examples of these throughout telecommunications where we all run into problems of these types of nature. But let me just talk about these specifically in my kind of outside perspective of where I think this could apply to ICANN. In terms of transparency, you have a lot of consumers out there who are buying domain names but really don't know what they're doing. And so it's extremely important that as an accredited registrar, that maybe there are principles in place, there's a way of educating the consumer, because these are people like my father, you know, who buy a domain name for his business but has no clue really how it works. There's an educative role there in order to make sure he's buying the best product for himself. Number two, you need to guarantee that there's the ability to switch providers or to do price shopping, because if you want a market to function well, consumers have to be able to, what we say in English, vote with their feet, which means leave one provider to go to another. You would run into problems, for example, if I went and searched for a domain name on one registrar, and as a result of my search, that registrar actually held the name for a couple of weeks, and I wasn't able to price shop anywhere else because the name was taken. Those types of issues would need to be dealt with so that people could actually do comparison shopping. And finally, there needs to be a way for consumers to resolve their problems. The domain name marketplace is global, and what that means oftentimes is if I register a .tv or a domain name, it's not necessarily with someone who's in my own country. So what is my system of redress. How, if I have a problem with that registrar, how do I deal with them if they're in another country and I really don't have a reach there? So I think those are three key issues that would be important for ICANN to think about. Thank you.
First of all, my apologies. I got here a bit late. Apologies to that. My name is Alex, and from my engagement with industry throughout the years, I probably would qualify to have a second name called Consumer, Alex Consumer, mainly because what the previous speaker just said has characterized my engagement with service providers, and it has been a hostile, a very terrible experience, coupled with the fact that you are dealing with Africa. So forget about digital divide. Knowledge divide is far worse. And so coupled with that, when you know what they are doing and what they are saying they are doing, they are completely opposite. And then they record a lot of profits out of it. Then they have the resources to even suppress the right information going out. Then obviously you find over time that they get quite upset when that sort of cartel-like behavior gets disrupted. I say this as a background so that in the course of discussions in the past, now, and maybe in the future, we understand where we are coming from, because developed countries like here have got very good laws, and your situation is much better than ours, I believe, or I hope, or at least redress generally. Now, without much digression to the generality of the consumers, I have some basic things. First of all, I came here with a very open mind. Nothing I'd written before, so I'm just trying to speak straight. So in case I find like I'm fumbling or going all over the place, please excuse me. Some of the things that I have learned over the years is that I learned to look at a consumer as a person on the edges of the Internet with respect to the Internet. That is a consumer. In other words, that person does not turn that service into another person downstream. The end of the network, that very person at the end. The second thing I look at it is that it has to be rights-based in the sense that I can not form a company that is business is to protect consumers, Protection Consumer Incorporated or Limited. Then it's a business that is out there to make money, and I'm likely to get money from the corporations, which then negates my role. Then the other thing that qualifies it as a right is in the never-ending game or discussion or engagement of privacy versus security. And there is a mistaken perception that when you're a consumer, coupled with the fact that you don't have a lot of information, then when cybercrime is mentioned, you are automatically made to feel that you are the criminal. Whereas telecommunication service providers generally, be it mobile, be it internet, sometimes they commit some of the worst crimes, like handing over very private data, reading all our emails. So the idea, and without broader going too deep into it, maybe I wait later, is that there was a meeting that was held in Seoul, I think about four years ago. I think it was called the Future of the Internet Economy or something like that. And the OECD countries came up with two resolutions on the best way forward in terms of the regulation. This summarizes as two things, to increase competition and to protect consumers. So if we adopted such an approach, as I can approach such an strategic approach that we want to increase competition, new GTLDs, yes, of course they're increasing competition, and then reinforce consumer protection so that the users of these new domains are protected against various abuses, then I think we'll be giving a very good strategic approach. Then we can go to the fine details of each issue. And thirdly, which is after they have increased competition and protected consumers, that is me who is adding. We must have a knowledge dissemination center that is so stupid simple that anybody who, the grandfather, who can just go there can read it and understand the elementaries. It's amazing how I go to even to technical fora and people don't even know what new GTLD is, even the old one, how they are run. So if they don't know, they're supposed to be the experts. What about the users? So we have to, I look at it that way as a simple person. And maybe without hogging too much of the time, maybe this could be an issue. Good. Thank you.
We've just spent 20 minutes having a quick tour de table, really, about the concept of consumer. Sebastian, did you want to make a contribution? Okay. Perhaps if there's anyone else who wants to contribute to this section, because my suggestion is in a very short while we move to the next word for this afternoon's conversation, which is agenda. And that might bring us back to Frank's point about what should the agenda be when we're in the ICANN context. Anyway, Sebastian?
Thank you, Rosemary. I guess three quick points. The first one, it's about the distribution channel. We talk very often about registry and registrar, but between the registrar and the end user or the end customer, they may have different actors existing, like resellers, IT shop who embedded domain names within an IT project or so on and so forth. And I can have a contract with the registry and the registrar and nothing with the rest of the distribution channel. Then we need to consider that also. Talking about the fluidity of the market, I think it's quite easy, or it's depend of country and registrar, but to move one domain name from one registrar to another one. But what about a portfolio of domain names for companies, how they can do that, how we can fluidify the market if it's if you need to take each domain names and do something to go from one place to another, taking into account that your registrar could be unique, but the registry are not unique and the rule applying to each and everyone are not the same, then it's create a huge difficulty. And then if we want to fluidify the market, that's one of the questions. Maybe as a more as a joke, but it seems to me that the goal that ICANN is pursuing to open the market will open consumer confusion. And that's great to have more domain names, but if, I don't know if my father never buy a domain name, but if his father buy a domain name tomorrow, how, if he doesn't know today with the 345 CCTLD and 21 GTLD what he's doing, how he will know what he will do with 500 new GTLD? And that's, we have to maybe to think about that also in this, what we try to open the market, but open the confusion. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wanting to make a contribution at this point? Have we got the mic back
there? There is. Thank you. My name is Alejandro Pisanti. I'm from ICE of Mexico, the National University of Mexico, and Centro Geo. I'm going to run the huge risk of combining two metaphors here, maybe breaking some glass and throwing some cold water in the discussion. But maybe that way helping move it forward. Forgetting history is a bad aid for a session like this. Discussions of consumer issues were very present in the previous and first stages of ICANN. A few nods around here tell you that there still is some memory of that. It is not that there are not consumer issues on the internet, and it's not specifically that there are not consumer issues in the domain name market. But they are quite narrow in definition, and you can go through several of the arguments here, see where we were 10 years ago, what has changed, and see if there's a chance to move forward from there. Very quickly, Tad, thanks for your excellent description of what could be consumer issues. I agree with you that in most countries that telcos are the companies that get most complaints, together with the utilities, I think, the electricity utilities. And what do you know? They also are the companies that have most clients. So the figures of complaints, of consumer complaints against utilities and telcos are unknown unless we compare them to the client base. And as a percentage of client base, I don't know that they are that bad. I won't defend them. I hate my own telco. I joined the sport. I hate my utility more. Beyond the anecdote, the important point is those figures are cheaty unless you refer them as a percentage of the client base. The one issue that applies here, which you mentioned, which is, you have redress and you have mobility. Both have been built into the registries and the registrar and the standard registration contracts to some extent, and they work to some extent. It took ICANN a lot of time before there was it took a major crisis with a registrar for people to realize that they had to apply escrow, they had to be able to take over, to close a registrar and to move the client base to another registrar who would be functioning. So from that point of view, so there you have redress and you have mobility in the same contracts, in different paragraphs for the same contracts. So a practical agenda, moving to the agenda point, would be study how that works and see how you can provide better protections if needed. Second point about that becomes very relevant here is that individual consumer contracts for domain names always take place in a specific national framework. You are correct that it is a global market. But if I decide from Mexico to register a name, a .tv name through GoDaddy, I am actually making one commercial transaction with GoDaddy in the U.S. And I'm relinquishing all consumer protection rights and all legal framework rights as a consumer in Mexico by making this transaction in the States. And if I read all the small print in the GoDaddy thing I click on, there will be clauses there that say what are the consumer environment laws where this applies. That's why ICANN never started to be the consumer protection agency of cyberspace or even of the domain name system, because each of these transactions takes place in a specific legal framework. The fact that they are global only complicates it, but still each transaction is under a specific legal framework. So anyways, there's one step forward, which was, okay, anyway, people decided 12 years ago that they were individual domain name owners, that they wanted to have some protection and some power as individuals, and tried several times to form an IDNO or IDNC, an individual domain name constituency. And the story of that, in brief, is it exploded, imploded, and imploded in every possible direction. Because of personality fights, because of a number of reasons, and also for one fundamental reason which still haunts us, whatever we do forward, it haunts the ALAC, it haunts the non-commercial constituents, it haunts the non-commercial stakeholder group, which is people may be registering a few names for their individual consumption, like your family or your very local sports club, and imperceptibly, there's no step difference. It's a gradual difference. You may be a hoarder of domain names. You may be purely speculating with them. And who tells you that you don't register TaylorReynolds.org today for, which I hope you did, for a very individual use, and then there turns out to be a tobacco company somewhere and you have stopped doing your consulting business, so you put that domain name for a price that's worthy of a tobacco company. You know, you never decided to be an evil guy sitting in Florida finding yourself with $1,000 bills for as a domain name speculator as I've depicted. This is constitutionally difficult to work with. So I would encourage everybody to sort of pick up on these 12 years instead of starting again from scratch. There's a huge body of knowledge out there to build forward.
Well, I think that actually was a nice segue, really, to the next word in our agenda, which is agenda. And I think we've had some indications in the contribution so far of the sorts of things that ICANN might be interested in. So I wonder if there are any contributions from others about what sort of agenda ICANN should think about. Bo?
I'm going to take a deep breath here, clear my throat, and hearken to some very wise words from a noted internet guru, Milton Mueller, to paraphrase Milton, all of the divisiveness or all of the back and forth or whatever, or the things that have separated a number of people who've been doing consumer stuff here for a while is who is. Therefore, for any agenda related to consumers within ICANN, I would challenge that a solution to, I mean, obviously solutions to who is, that's, you could make a lot of money on that, but the two factions on that within the consumer or user community need to come together somehow before there can be any progress. That's my agenda suggestion. And Milton said that in New York a couple months ago. If you look at the videotape, you can actually see him putting his pants on at the beginning.
Just because this is transcribed, transmitted, and recorded, it is a New York Internet Society offering, and they did have the live video camera following the speaking team throughout the whole of the hotel and indeed from the room, which was perhaps an oversight because it was all streamed live. So we're not making a joke. We're just also telling you exactly where it is that this very, very worthwhile discussion on a number of these topics happened. And it's probably, Rosemary, while I have the microphone, Cheryl Langdonor here, worthy of us picking up on what Alejandro was saying, and that is perhaps a beginning agenda would be to do some preamble work, to do some preparatory work, to look at what has gone before, and to develop some basics. From there, perhaps, I'd like to suggest we get really, 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 really radical and we try for some shared understanding on issues. That would sort of come into where Bo's going.
Yeah, Bertrand Lachapelle. First of all, I think the point that was raised about the difference of jurisdiction and the applicability of the law of the operator that you use to buy your domain name is a very important aspect because it has a connection with the redress dimension. Just floating an idea here, one of the things that I can provide is to try to bridge this wide gap between a solution to global issues that is completely international or is completely nationally based. I mean, we're always doing a big grand écart, as we say in French, where you always have the choice. Either you do a complete treaty at the global level that solves everything, or you just go back to the national location. The interesting thing in ICANN is that in many cases you can try to explore a little bit more the zone in the middle. And for instance, in case of redress, if you have a problem, maybe there could be a mechanism instead of, I mean, GoDaddy wouldn't have a problem, but instead of forcing a relatively minor registrar that just happens to have, I mean, the registrar is in Latvia for whatever reason, and the registrant is in Ghana. So happens, and it's good. If they have to sort out the problem, it's stupid to ask the guy to go to Latvia to redress or to ask the Latvian small registrar to develop a presence in Ghana. Any kind of easy dispute resolution mechanism, when I say easy, it's very light. Like the thing in some cases, solutions can be easily found. Maybe there's a way to explore any kind of intermediation that doesn't cost the complete dispute resolution system, but that could be not managed necessarily by ICANN, but encouraged at local level. So you would have people who would serve, for instance, a region and be an easy access for intermediating. Just an idea. This dimension of jurisdiction is also, in terms of applicability of national law, there's this famous case of the guy in Spain that buys a domain name at Enum, I think, or a U.S. registrar, and basically sells a trip to Cuba and then gets his domain name taken away because it's not under U.S. law. And so this kind of applicability of law is a very very delicate thing, and it goes to the awareness that you were mentioning. And finally, I would agree with what Alejandro was saying to a certain extent, The danger within ICANN is that when we speak about history, it's also about closets with a lot of dead body in there. And so there's always a very big caution about even pretending that you open the door because you get all the ghosts coming out. And you always get into a debate that, oh, yeah, we remember 10 years ago there was a debate at this specific ICANN meeting or this group. This shouldn't prevent us from sometimes reopening some issues. And the status of registrants in the ICANN policymaking process is raising a lot of issues, because how to distinguish the individual ones from the large portfolio domainers, for instance. But the reality is that today, even the large portfolio domainers as a group is not acting visibly or with a specific identity within the ICANN system. Not that I want to multiply the silos, as you know. But fundamentally, the last point I wanted to make is I agree with the notion that so far we've been talking about the domain name market and the consumer of the domain name market. But we need to understand that even if somebody buys a domain name, sometimes he will develop or she will develop an application behind, so that he is not completely an end user. He is becoming an intermediary through this domain. And so the stability of the registry, the fact that you buy in good faith, and this is particularly important in the UGTLD process, you buy in good faith a domain in a new promising GTLD. You build your whole brand, you build your whole activity on a completely new address, and then suddenly, because the registry was bad, it just goes down. And I never bought, for instance, you were mentioning Milton, I never bought the argument that the domain name and the registry market is just a market, and that the free market is some go bust, some disappear. No. It's a function that is at the service of the general users. And as a matter of fact, I think a lot of the applications that will come out of the new domain name system, or the new GTLDs, are going to be completely different from what we do today with the domain name. Mm-hmm. We will not type, and in most cases I could imagine something like advanced DNS services that are completely under the hood, connecting APIs and allowing different databases to talk to one another, and nobody will see that at the consumer level. But it will enable extremely strong new applications that we don't even know. And I'm concerned at the moment for the interest of the long-term potential users of those new applications that we are piling up burdens on the new entrants at the moment in the DAG. So there's a connection.
Oops, excuse me. I think the first thing, listening to Bertrand and those interesting examples of Ghana and Latvia or wherever and so on. We have actually a problem because they are interesting. The problem is that we're trying to design a system, and the system shouldn't really be designed around exceptions or what would be exceptions to the normal rule of buying, you know, X billion, million domain names. Not most of them, very few of them are going to be exceptions. And the other, that leads me to the thought that really what we do need to do is create a regime of informed consumers. And the first thing I would say is that you do not buy domain names. You don't buy them. I mean, you rent them or you lease them. And that is one of the most important misunderstandings of people with domain names. They think they've got one, and then a year later they don't, because it's gone, because they may not have read the registrar agreement. They may not have understood that ICANN has done an enormous amount of work with grace periods and so on and so forth, but you can still lose a domain name, because if you have the idea that you bought it, well, you didn't, so it's gone. So I think the idea of informed consumers and building an agenda around what that might mean could be probably the most important thing, and that would then go to Sebastian's point about what happens with 500 new registrars or registries, is again that you have your policies published, things are understood, things should be understood in an easy and presentable way. So informed consumers would be my key point.
Wondering if there was a cue. Cheryl Langdonor here. Harking back to what Adam is just saying and sharing a very preliminary conversation that the at-large community has just finished having with the registrars here.
there is a willingness to try and find a way to be more proactive and educate a community and work together. But there was a return on that package, which was wanting to bring back to what our friend from the OECD was saying. There also appeared to be a willingness for them to hear and assure us that they will listen about complaints. And if we can actually do low-level remediation of things without going to the next level and the disputes, etc., this is something that's going to help us as we work out at the edges where these things are going to happen. Might also, of course, assist us to not get too mired in the international differences between country A, country B, and where you bought product C from. So I think that there's a small opportunity. There might be almost a perfect timing for what we're doing in this room now and a new willingness for certainly those registrars we met with earlier today to at least begin to listen.
A quick comment, thanks. It's in the ICANN bylaws that ICANN is meant to promote global public interest. And so we are netizens from whichever corner we are. So in terms of promoting that public interest, then ICANN indeed has done a good thing to lead us into raising the consumer, because as a public. Now the one of the other losses that consumers have at the end is they build their own brands. And once you have built your brand for so long and your business is succeeding, the people who might be the registrar in a faraway place where you registered your domain, other than the Latvian case, they just realize that a certain domain is getting traffic. And then before you know it, they have probably just quickly renewed or done something, or maybe refused to renew the domain for you or made it difficult to transfer if you want another registrar. So you find you lose your domain in certain circumstances which are far from most transparent. Now, one of the ways I have seen that we can have a quick win in terms of raising the consumer agenda in ICANN may be very simple. One of them is to ask all accredited registrars to just submit what it is they have in place for consumer protection. Nice and simple. If they don't have, they won't submit. And then ICANN publishes. Don't burden ICANN and let them just hang themselves if they don't.
I guess another item on the agenda or on a further agenda that would come out of the consumer definition of the word consumer, it just the number of entities, huh?
Is the definitional problem?
No. Well, no, not definitional, but representational. Okay. The GAC believes, and rightfully it should, the GAC believes that it acts in the best interest of, you know, the human beings whose governments are represented there. And, in fact, a lot of the stuff the GAC does is perhaps a bit more consumer-oriented in the way that I define the word consumer than what the at-large has done historically. Mm. The at-large is chartered with representing the user community. There are, you know, the umpteen other bits and divisions within this community that have consumer interests. Law enforcement believes, as we heard on Monday night, that it is acting on behalf of consumer interests in the ICANN community. So, I mean, in a sense, the word is being defined for us because of a lack of our ability to embrace singularity.
Thanks. Kathy Kleinman, PIR. You know, it's interesting. As Bertrand said, registrant didn't come up very often in the early days of ICANN. It wasn't something we discussed, but it's coming up more and more. And I'm not quite sure whether the agenda here is to spin something off individually as a new entity or to integrate the registrant or consumer agenda into the other discussions taking place within ICANN. And I wanted to point out one area where the word registrant has been coming up a lot, and that's the, don't groan everybody, the Vertical Integration Working Group.
Yes.
Okay. I asked. Where we've had registrars and registries, and then the question became, okay, I'll move it far away from me. The question became, what about registrants? And it was raised by at-large people. It was raised by NCSG. It was raised by others. Who are we really doing this for? What is this really all about? And the whole question of having local registrars serving the community in the language with the customs, and also so that you don't have to waive your jurisdiction under the contract, that you can, if there's a challenge, you get to stay in your country or in your region and not have to go across the globe. So there are education issues, but also raising the registrant issues in every forum here seems to be an important goal, and maybe one we can all participate in.
Good morning. I'm Luca Belli from Pantheon Assas University. And I wanted to stress that if we consider all the users, consumers, we risk not to bridge the digital divide, but to create a bigger divide, because it's surely encouraging to consider all the users are a unique community, but there are several legislation, and for instance in Europe there is a specific legislation on consumers that gives a lot of rights to consumers, and considering every user a consumer will just create two different kind of consumers, European consumers and be serious consumers that cannot use the European protection that is granted to consumers. So I think that is extremely risky and extremely difficult issue and complicated issue. And that's it.
Just a quick example of what I just said. If you look at one of the examples I like citing is something like the Internet Service Providers Association of South Africa, where they encourage their members to adhere to a set code of conduct. They have a hall of shame where they name and shame the bad providers. They have various things that actually educate as an association. So I do find their code of conduct on freedom of expression, privacy and confidentiality, consumer protection and provision of information to customers, several clauses, standards and terms of conditions, etc., spam, cybercrime, protection of minors, a whole list of things. So I think this is an example of where it happens. Now, in the absence of this, and again because of the expenses of legal issues related to domain, you find people in Africa or other places will not be able to pursue lawsuits in this arena. Thanks.
Anyone else wanting to make a contribution about this idea of agenda?
Rosemary, if I may, Cheryl Langdonor here, just to pick up on Alex's point. It's not just those countries that have very expensive systems which are unreachable. I think it would be important to note that a number of course, within the CC environments, they have industry codes of practice which go specifically to how their country code registries and registrars will operate. So it's not an impossible task, but perhaps part of our agenda might be a survey of what's out there. I know we're focusing on the G world, but we can learn lessons from all sorts of examples, and perhaps some of the CCs might have got it right, reasonable, or worthy of further exploration.
Can I add something on agenda from the back row? It's been interesting listening to agenda. My name's Avery again. It's listening to it and truly believing and understanding how important registrants are and how important registrants of GTLDs are. But when I'm looking at a consumer agenda dealing with ICANN, I tend to view a lot more possibilities without even getting to the user transitivity of consumerness. But I look at, for example, definitely needing to look at CCTLDs where it varies. But I also start to look at ICANN as a consumer-facing organization. Now, it's not that ICANN itself is selling services, but ICANN has arranged for all sorts of providers to sell dispute resolution services or sell this sort of service. And especially as we look at the new GTLD plan, where there's going to be a proliferation of services that are being sold to people to review their their disputes. I think that the concept, and one of the things I've been happy about here, is that we sort of take this notion of ICANN's consumers much wider than just the registrar. Not to leave that one aside, but just it's a much broader concept to look at, and especially important is ICANN as a consumer-facing organization. Thanks.
Bertrand Lachapelle again. Actually, what I wanted to support is the notion of having a look also at the CCs, as Cheryl was suggesting, for best practices. But here I will be potentially anathema or completely at odds with some of the tendencies of the GAC in general. In as much as there is a strong national responsibility for the CCs, I think there is a general responsibility also of the CCs towards the community and the world community to have high standards of relation with their consumers and behavior. So I'm not sure that it is always the case. It is naturally something that is done at the national level. But some kind of evaluation of good practices is another way to say peer pressure. And in ICANN, unfortunately, not enough is probably done to encourage peer pressure. That goes for the registrars as well. I've had discussions with registrars very regularly saying, you are harming your own community if you don't self-police and enforce the agreements and make sure that your members are all abiding by what has been signed. And so self-policing within the communities is an important element. The other thing is I would wholeheartedly support what Avery was saying. Fundamentally, when we talk about consumer, we're talking about impact. And when we talk at the ICANN level, what we care about, what is the impact of what ICANN does and what the policies that ICANN develop and the activities that ICANN has, what is the impact on the general space and the use of the internet and that sort of thing. And this goes to the notion of social benefits, particularly in the introduction of new TLDs. We have welcomed, and I have welcomed very much, the economic study that came out because it highlights how the introduction of new TLDs is not exclusively an economic issue, but a social benefit and economic benefit issue. And so the consumer agenda is also a matter of saying, okay, it's nice to treat well the consumer when he pays you to buy a domain, but there's another consumer agenda, which is, how is the space managed so that the maximum social benefits for the community comes from having a domain name space that is just understandable, that is at least manageable conceptually instead of just a mess. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. I wanted to read a comment from Bill Drake in the chat room. In other contexts, the notion of agenda means mainstreaming something across policy discussions, in the first instance as a criteria of evaluation. Let me draw a parallel. In the IGF, I have been pushing the notion of a development agenda for internet governance, meaning that in looking at any given issue or institution, cross-cutting one at least asks, are there distinctive development considerations associated with this? Impacts, positive or negative, to consider, etc., in a holistic manner.
I think, unless there are any other contributions on this section of agenda, we might quickly move to talking about ICANN. And again, I think Bill's contribution is a nice segue to a discussion about a consumer agenda for ICANN. So is this something just for the GNSO? Is it something just for GAC? Is it something for CCNSO? And I'm just interested in people's views on how this agenda might relate to the whole of ICANN or the different parts of ICANN.
I can speak to some work originally on, there was a recent group on RAA improvements. And before I got sidetracked, I got involved in trying to get involved in, is there a way of entrenching registrant rights into the RAA? Now, it didn't make this cut, but there was some significant discussion. And as part of it, as part of the upshot of this, it was split into two groups. And one of the groups was sort of tasked of thinking about what was to be called an aspirational charter, which I felt kind of insulted by the fact that registrant rights was to be something to be aspired to as opposed to a core concept of the way that these relationships were being defined. And the sum total of that was, you know, so what would a charter look like? So I was given about 10 minutes to come up with about 10 items to put of what would be in a charter. The document that exists right now, it's searchable as an aspirational charter, and it's crude and understandably so. It didn't have a lot of time behind it, didn't have a lot of people behind it, but at least it was an original shot at this. And I'm sort of hoping that what this group can do is sort of pick up on that and sort of determine what, you know, what is the registrant's interest in all of these transactions that are going on above their heads, and what protections can be done from their point of view. So there have been some stabs at this from the ICANN context, but they've been nominal and, at least from my experience, not extremely well received so far.
No. Well, what did you want me to add? I was, yes, but I think that this group would do well to pick that up, but I think it would do well to have the work be more representational, because I think, as it turned out, the aspirational document was weak, and the GNSO level document was real. So how I can expand on that to help the purposes of this meeting, I'm not sure. Was there another point you wanted made? Thanks.
Just to add quickly onto this, in relation to ICANN, like we said with the telcos, the biggest threat to consumer protection has been the big money, the big business behind it. We know ICANN is different because some were different. Let's say it's because we are here. The fact that we are here discussing consumer protection proves it's different. But we also know that there's also a lot of lobbying for the interest. So we have to also be alert as we are looking at the institution called ICANN, that the consumer agenda, when it's a consumer, the ICANN facing consumer is not distorted by the very people, because it's a cost. Companies would rather do without. You know, and that's why the reason why we get so many complaints to telcos. If they wanted a perfect network, they would increase base station, they would have, they would multiply the infrastructure so that that would be double the cost. So they would rather not do the cost and manage a few complaints that come. So at ICANN also, we have to safeguard from the institutional. Let's also use the same word sometimes they use, capture. Yeah, we don't get the consumer agenda captured and derailed within the ICANN, you know, establishment. Thank you.
I wonder if I could call upon Taylor and Bill, because I'm interested, Taylor, in that work on empowering e-consumers and whether there were any high-level principles that came out of that work in the OECD's advice to governments that might be of interest. And then from ISOC, I'm interested in the public sphere work and whether there's anything out of that. When we're thinking about an agenda for the whole of ICANN, I thought these might be some examples that could help us.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. If I can actually, there's just 7 points here. Very quick points that summarize this policy guidance that the OECD published on protecting consumers and empowering consumers. And I think some of these could apply. encouraging the development of services that provide consumers with a range of quality products at competitive prices. Looks like we've got some feedback. Okay. Number two, which I did not discuss earlier, is informing consumers about potential security and privacy risks in using communication services and how they can limit these risks. Enhancing consumer awareness of the availability and benefits of services, suppliers, and consumer rights. Improving transparency of contracts and ensuring that they're not unfair to consumers, which we talked about. Minimizing the costs associated with switching services, which again we talked about. Facilitating timely, inexpensive, easy-to-use, effective, and fair settlement of consumer complaints, again. And ensuring that services be widely accessible to everyone, and in particular, disadvantaged and vulnerable consumers. So those are the seven main principles that came out of this policy guidance that the OECD issued.
Take the ISOC one and then
Well, this will be a very brief response on behalf of my friend here, Bill, because I'm sorry, you caught him a little unawares of exactly what you wanted on that. I think what we could take from, and I've only involved with a couple of the sub-projects of the ISOC Sphere project, so I'm here not looking at it from how the model was hopefully going to work, but what it did do was, and is still doing, is become very interactive with the component parts of what ISOC is. And by making sure the hub part that's always been ISOC headquarters engaged very proactively with all its constituent parts and did a design that was rather radical and very empowering for the component parts. Perhaps looking at what the Sphere project is doing and continues to do for ISOC could be an interesting model if we're going to try and make some paradigm shifts mechanisms that we might be able to use in getting a consumer agenda into ICANN. But because Sphere-style projects are fit for purpose, the purpose for ISOC would be entirely different to the purpose here. So I hope I've stumbled through that effectively and Anne doesn't shoot me when she sees me.
I was just wondering if we could ask our guest from the OECD to just tell us briefly how consumers are represented within OECD, having attended some of their meetings. I mean, I think that the way that they're represented is interesting for this conversation.
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer. I have to explain that I am an economist working on the telecommunications side. I deal with infrastructures. But consumers groups are actually part of an advisory group that comes to our meetings on telecommunication policy. And so they interact with all the member governments around the table. The same way we do here, they have a seat at the table and they come forward with a unified voice in a number of our working parties. In addition, we have a committee that is dedicated to consumer protection and consumer policy. And so this is a group who focus solely on consumer issues, and I should probably do a little publicity for them. They are launching a consumer protection toolkit that will be released in the next couple of weeks here, I believe, that has all sorts of tools that governments, private sector can use in order to help protect consumers. So OECD has many different areas that are focusing on consumers.
Thanks. Saeed?
Thank you. I'm sorry, I've joined this meeting a little late, so just a question. I see that there's a development of a consumer agenda, probably that's what we're discussing. And I understood that this was in the context of the AOC. So I was looking at the AOC at 9.3, and what it says is that it has a different or maybe a broader view as to what consumer protection and trust and choice may sort of in entail. And if you read 9.3, or at least the way I look at I'm looking at it now, and it says ICANN has to look at various issues, et cetera, that are involved in GTLDs, including competition, consumer protection, security, stability, resiliency, malicious abuse issues, sovereignty concerns, and rights protection. And I'm thinking that, I mean, because we are from the business community, we have a very sort of strong view about rights protection as well. Would we also fall under this consumer agenda? And I think that would be good, because I think if we look at 9.3, look at this agenda, it seems we have common ground on working on issues together vis-a-vis ICANN. I just wanted to make that point and ask whether I'm off from the grid here or... Thank you.
No, that's a really terrific contribution, and thank you for it. I am deeply aware that we've got to 5:30. It seems to me that we've managed to do that in a minute rather than in 90 minutes. I know a lot of you have got to go and put your party frocks on for the gala event this evening. It's a posh frocks and black ties, I think. I wonder, though, if I could just take your indulgence and could we take 5 minutes only to figure out what the next steps might be, assuming that people want to have some next steps. So I guess that's the first question, what they might be, who might want to be part of continuing this conversation. I am quite keen and interested to just try to pull out of the conversation the main ideas and perhaps circulate them to people who were here, make them available one way or the other. And I just thought before closing the session, if there are things that people would like to consider or suggest, rather, in terms of what next steps might be, without locking anybody into another working group, drafting team, interest group, constituency, whatever and what have you. I'm not asking anybody to do that. If there are any points that you would like to make before we close the session, we can finish in that way.
Rosemary, if I may, I asked Matthias, Cheryl speaking, Cheryl Langdon-Hall speaking, to pull up the Wikispace Consumer Commons, which Avery had prepared. This is the type of place and space which I think is a sandbox that we can all put our toys in and our little bits of information and care and share and continue on with this process. And I will ensure, Avery, because I don't know whether it... because it's a new one since I've gone through everything at large is involved with to make sure what gets prioritised for going to the Confluence Wiki as early as possible, because the Confluence Wiki will be a lot more user-friendly for everyone, particularly from our diverse, what we're trying to do with so much diversity of interest here. I'll just make sure that this gets migrated as early as possible when they shift things to the new wiki. There's going to be a couple of weeks when some wikis are just disappeared. So Consumer Commons would be an ideal place, Rosemary, if I may, if we distribute the summations of our discussion today and include the link to that and encourage people to start playing in that sandpit. That would be nice.
Okay, so I think that's a great idea, Cheryl, and I guess the other thing that I'm taking from that is that people are happy to continue with this conversation, and perhaps we could look towards getting together again at the next meeting and seeing where we're up to, what progress we've made over the intervening months. Okay, so Rob?
And I'd ask our tech team to keep the recording of this chat room open so I can get the link to the commons in there. So please don't shut off right after we end the meeting.
Alex has got a quick final comment.
Yeah, this is to thank Rosemary for her effort in bringing this and making this happen. I know it's been quite some work. Thank you so much, Rosemary. And I think I welcome that idea, where the more we do it, because it's going to form the new standard of the best practices. We are going to refer to what we put there to our governments, to our service providers. So the impact of that will be quite heavy. So I welcome and I like it very much. Thanks.
Bastien, did you want to?
Yeah, sorry to make a loop, but the question I asked at the beginning, it's 9.3 must become a review team. And I am wondering why we wait for 1 year after the introduction of the new GTLT to have this review thing starting to work. I know that it's in the affirmation of commitment, and we can't move one single point of that document, but My feeling is that if this review team could have been set up now, it would have been a very good idea for all our the issue we discussed here. Thank you.
Last comment from me is that I had asked staff to make a number of copies of documents which are here, and even in the operating plan and budget there's mention of consumer interest and public interest and so on, the economic study for the GTLDs and the affirmation of commitments. So if you're interested, just to have a look at those documents, they are available for people here. Thank you very much, everybody.
Standardized it.